Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. With your hosts, Bo Spearham and Karina Hogan.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land that we are broadcasting from. I also like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS, or if you're tuning in via our app, 98.9 FM for the best country, which you can download from your app store. So please do so for free. Or if you're tuning in via our website, 98.9fm.com.au, or if you're tuning in via podcast through Spotify or Apple Podcasts, those platforms beaming us into your communities. And as always, it is great to have your company. Good morning, Karina Sis. What's going on?
Not much. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk today.
Yes, feeling a bit fresher now.
Yes, you're back on the panels.
Back on the panels today. No, in control.
It's already been such a full week this week with lots of news happening, both negative and positive. Yesterday we spoke with Rachel Hocking, who is the NITV correspondent and also co-host of The Point, with regards to a landmark decision that was made regarding Kumanjay Walker. So the officer that was involved in the shooting with Kumanjay Walker last year. he has been called to stand trial for murder.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a massive.
It's a precedent because no police officer in the NT that has been involved in what is now known as a death in custody hasn't stood a trial being murder.
Yeah.
Manslaughter in other cases, but a murder. It's happened a few times in different parts of the country, but none has been successful with charging a police officer or a prison guard. There's some coronial inquests that are going on as well.
Mm.
There were some rallies in Sydney as well. So we'll keep you up to date with everything that has been happening in regards to the Reynolds family.
Yeah, Nathan Reynolds.
The Kumanjay.
Yeah, Indigenous man Nathan Reynolds, who suffered from an asthma attack. But it was found in the coronial inquest last week, but the nurse there was slapping him in the face at the time and had administered a drug to Nathan, which was usually given to people in response to a drug overdose. So she had assumed he was having a drug overdose. Sadly, he lost his life. And that inquest occurred last week. So we will be chatting with Michaela Reynolds tomorrow morning, who is the sister who has been unrelenting in her fight for justice for her brother. Also her sister, Talia Reynolds, has also been very firmly by her side, that family solidarity to their mob down there, Bo.
Definitely. Paul Silva. He's been attending the hearings as well in solidarity with the Reynolds family.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully we can get an update where we can chat to him as well next week or something because the Dungay family, the Reynolds family and the Chatfield family all had rallies earlier this week down in Sydney as well.
Yeah, our series Let's Talk Incarceration really hones in on and talks to these mob. We keep relationships with these mobs, so it's not a matter of, hey, let's interview for 5 minutes and see you later. Like, we have built relationships with these mob since we began this series at the beginning of this year, and I think that's what makes this...
they're blackfellas at the end of the day.
100%.
You know, the community members, you know, some may even be related to us or our friends. So it's important that, you know, one, we, you know, keep that relationship with these fellas. One, because they're going through something like this, but then also, you know, we never know when it,
100%.
How close it could be.
Well, today, Bo, on Let's Talk, we're going to be yarning about the environment. There's a lot that's been happening in the news as far as the destruction of a sacred tree on a Djaparung country in Victoria. And it's broken a lot of hearts. It's really hit a lot of mob down there. So we're going to be yarning with Sissy Austin very shortly, who has recently stood down from our First Nations...
First Peoples Assembly of Victoria.
Correct, yes. Stood down. And she joins us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Sissy.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on the program, Sis. Before we go any further, got to get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from.
I'm Sissy Austin. I'm a Gunditjmara Kira Warang Japarang woman.
And Sis, you wrote a piece in The Guardian yesterday. The destruction of a sacred tree on Japarang country has broken our hearts. You speak about the sound of that chainsaw going through the tree and destroying something that is so very sacred to your mob. Can you tell us about the significance of this tree?
Yeah, so, we call this tree the Directions Tree, and I guess it's so hard to put into words the how powerful that tree is, and being in the presence of that tree is like, something that I can't explain. And I think like a lot of us Japarang women especially, our last time with that tree, I don't think we ever imagined that it would be our last. So we're feeling hurt kind of like never before in losing an element of that, you know, entire culturally significant landscape. The chainsaws, like a lot of us have watched it from a distance, like from via social media, and that's been really hard. A lot of we're still all in, you know, lockdown, and not allowed to travel up that way. So there's police blockades anyway because of the coronavirus restrictions. So, it's all really hard at the moment for us.
Like you just mentioned, with the sort of pandemic and with coronavirus, and especially down in Victoria, you know, there's been, you know, massive, you know, for the most part, you know, Victoria was sort of shut down. Did you think that, you know, through the pandemic, there would have, you know, this call would have been made?
I don't think anything with the Andrews government right now surprises me, but I always have hope in that people, act with empathy and care. And I think it's just a massive, stab in the heart for us for this to have happened during the pandemic. And it's heartbreaking and shocking. And I think a lot of us have cried a lot over the last 48 hours, and now we're just gathering ourselves and trying to find the words to explain how we're feeling to, you know, media, mob like you guys. It's just really hard.
We do appreciate you, you know, making time to, through your heartache as well, Sis, you know, coming on here and having a yarn with us, because it must be. You know, I can't imagine at the moment what you mob are going through down that way as well. Mm. This tree is one of many trees in a 12-kilometre stretch, is that right?
Yeah.
There are sort of more, I'm not saying more significant, but there are other significant trees along this path that are in the way of sort of being chopped down as well. This was a direction tree. What were the other trees?
So the other two, and we've seen yesterday that the camps are being cleared out. So people that haven't been there, there's pretty much we set up camps at each kind of significant tree. So there's three camps, and there's the grandfather tree and there's the grandmother tree. And those camps have been cleared out. So there's an anxiety there that they aren't protected. I'm not 110% across everything that's happening with the legal side of things at the moment, but I know that there's a hearing in the Supreme Court tomorrow with our lawyer trying to get an injunction to stop the work. So as we've seen over the last 2 years, there's been multiple injunctions like over and over and over again. But it comes down to the day of and the workers in what they're doing. So,
yeah
there's just a lot of anxiety. I have no idea what's happening next. So,
Because your mum had been down there for 863 days as of today.
And
50 people were arrested. So this was quite a big kind of move in on this. Yeah. Have you spoken to those who have been arrested? Have they been released? Do you know what's going on?
I'm not too sure on that front, but, you know, with the police presence is outrageous, and the not just the presence but also their use of force is totally, like, unnecessary and harmful and traumatic to our people. And, you know, we know, like, in this country and across the world, more than ever we are, there's a light being shone on police brutality with, like, the Black Lives Matter movement and everything beyond. And, you know, there's that anxiety in all of our minds at the moment, and it is so triggering for us down there, like, on the front line, in having such a high police presence with riot police there, and and the amount of arrests and injuries that have occurred. I know that there's been one broken arm, so I guess we'll find out more as the days pan out, but there's going to be, a lot of healing that's going to need to be done after this.
You mentioned sort of, I guess, legal action coming from your side as well. Daniel Andrews, the Victorian Prime Minister, just mentioned, I believe it was yesterday, in a press conference in regards to coronavirus and stuff, but, you know, some journalists chucked in questions in regards to the trees. And he was asked that, you know, about consultation. You know, and he said he spoke to the 12 families. In relation to the 12 families, where do you sit?
Well, I'd like to know who the 12 families are. I am a family member and I haven't heard nothing. So I guess we need to know who those 12 families are that he is referring to. that to us, we have no idea, and there's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of talks going on behind closed doors that that's actually oppressing and silencing the voices of grassroots mob on the ground. So,
And just sort of before we wrap up, having the answer to this, you know, people saw images, you know, of that tree, you know, and sorry to sort of keep bringing up and mentioning it, in the back of a truck, you know, being sort of taken away, obviously, you know, when our sites get destroyed, you know, they're irreplaceable, but, you know, where, you know, can you, do you get to have access to sort of the remaining part of the tree, you know?
That's what we're now looking at, working out where the tree's gone and what's happening next, and if we can somehow, you know, have access to that, to the wreckage, I guess. And we all know that there's now a need for a mourning ceremony on country, and I never thought that it would come to this, where we would actually have to plan something where we were mourning, because we've all been in this fight mode for so long. Like, it's been, we've maintained this fight, like you said, for 862 days. Like, we've had bodies on the line, like, on the hottest days and through, like, the coldest nights. We've always had, you know, there's been bodies on the front line, but then there's people behind the scenes that have been telling the stories of Japurung and of country and everything that's happened over these last 2 years, like, is just being in fight mode, I guess.
And you're protecting so much that defines who you are. Like you say in your piece, our country is who we are. And if you've just joined us on Let's Talk, we're yarning with Japurung woman Sissy Austin, who was a member of the First People's Assembly of Victoria, but you stood down last night, Sissy. Tell us why you did that.
And what the assembly is.
Yeah, so the First Peoples Assembly of Victoria is made up of Aboriginal people in Victoria. There's elected seats, and then there's seats dedicated to RAP bodies and traditional owner groups. So I was in one of the elected seats for the southwest region, and the Japarung embassy had already been established prior to the election period, and I decided to put myself up, and when I did get elected, I made it very clear that, and I said it in my opening speech in that Parliament House, that, you know, the decision that the Andrews government make in regards to the Western Highway Duplication Project will make or break the trust that our community place in this treaty process and in this treaty agenda. And I guess the last 48 hours have broken that trust, and, you know, like I said in the piece, it's broken our hearts. And so I will always stand by my word, and I've always said that if my country is destroyed within these two conflicting agendas, where the Andrews government is presenting themselves as so progressive and all about, you know, they've got this their own idea of a self-determination agenda. It's a very controlled agenda.
Not really self.
And so, that's not me. That's not who I am. And I would be breaching my own integrity if I were to continue in my role on the assembly. So, yeah, last night I did a Facebook Live, and in the best way I could, let my community know that, yeah, I've stepped down in my role.
Do you know if any other members have sort of stepped down or had discussions with you in support of what you were doing as well?
Yeah, I've spoken to other members. There are other members that are feeling very conflicted on the assembly at the moment. There's a lot, actually, and, conflicted in where they stand and where they should be positioning themselves. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised in the coming days or weeks if we do see other members stepping off the assembly for multiple different reasons.
Sis, in your article, you mentioned a song by Kutcher Edwards, and we're going to take the audience out with that one. Is this what we deserve?
But before we do that, how can people support, or where can they find out more information and join the fight as well, sis, in different states, in different areas?
Yeah, there's the Japarung Heritage Protection Embassy Facebook page that has all of the information on it. There's the website. And also just, you know, following our social media accounts like mine, Mariki, Onus, Tani.
Senator Lydia Thorpe.
Lydia,
Who can I just say in her quote, in response to Daniel Andrews saying that he had consulted, she said, "My heart is broken and I can't help to feel betrayed by a government who says they want to treaty with us. Blaming other traditional owners for signing off is a cop-out. The cultural heritage legislation is committing genocide and it needs to be abolished."
Do you think he'd even speak to sort of, another sort of politician as well, before sort of...
Show. I mean... cultural heritage legislation is one big massive issue in this country, just generally speaking, but we can see how much it's impacted your mob, and we really appreciate you coming on. Just to spell...
Yeah, and it's us now, and it could be anyone else next. You know, Japarung are being hard hit by these legislations now, and, 100%. It could be anyone else next.
Well, we've seen it happen in other areas around the country where cultural heritage sites, whether it's Duke and
Adani Kays, is a big one.
You know, right where now. We've seen, we've just seen that people disregarding...
My country.
Your country, Bo, for example, only recently, disregarding culturally significant and sacred sites in order to...
The environmental minister.
And so, this is not... you guys aren't alone in this, which is sad to say. Mm. Just for those that are listening, to spell Jaburung, D-J-A-B space W-U-R-R-U-N-G, just in case if you want to jump on Google. Obviously, mobs spell things all different ways because we never used phonetics back then. But yeah, just so that people know in case they want to find some more information.
Yeah.
Sis, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Yes.
Thank you.
We'd
love to sort of keep up the date and sort of,
definitely,
you know, have a chat with yourself or some of the other mob down that way as well about what's going on the ground with community.
And after thanks, Sis. And that was Sissy Andrews. She's a Jaburung woman and was a member of the First Nations People's Assembly. Stood down last night. She stood down last night because of the destruction of a Jaburung tree. Some of those trees are 800 years old, Bo.
Yes.
Now, sticking with environment, after the break, we're going to be yarning with a mother-daughter duo from somewhere a bit closer to where we're sitting right now, over in Quandamu.
That's actually pretty far from where we're sitting at the moment.
Well, no, it's not. It's only like an hour. That's where we should really be. We should have actually gone over there to do the outside broadcast, let's be honest. Yes. Maybe that's our next step.
But to take us out into the break, we're going to listen to Uncle Kutcher Edwards with Is This What We Deserve? You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM.
Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? All I'm asking, Lord, is this what we deserve? We've been here since time began, our ancestors' footprints are buried in the sand. We are but caretakers of this ancient land, but you still don't understand. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve? Your laws are so unjustified. Our basic human rights have been denied. Come up with excuses like your hands are tied, but you go on committing genocide. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? What we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve? Just keep on trying. Now, poor eyes, they just keep on crying. And sadly, our people, they just keep on dying. While you just keep on lying. Is this what we deserve?
booking in for your 715 health check or attending your checkup appointment. You can visit us for things like 715 health checks, regular checkups, dental appointments, allied health appointments, etc. Remember, regular visits to your doctor can prevent health issues occurring later. Prevention is better than a cure. Plus, we now offer telehealth services. This means that you can attend appointments from the comfort of your home. To find out more, contact the nearest clinic. To find your nearest clinic, visit www.iuih.org.au. Find a clinic.
A message from the Institute of Urban Indigenous Health.
Station sponsor.
This is Bo Spearham and Karina Hogan with Let's Talk.
And that was Kutcha Edwards with Is This What We Deserve? And that's off the back of a yarn that we just had with Djaparung woman Sissy, who spoke about Sissy Austin, who spoke about the
Djaparung trees.
Sad destruction of some Djaparung tree down there. The Direction Tree, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is on the path of a 12-kilometre stretch where there's other sacred trees, which is in the way, of the highway expansion.
Mm. It's quite sad, Bo. Some of the trees are 800 years old. Yes. And the importance of having that connection to country and them spending...
It's older than any statue here in Australia.
Yes. And them mob who have spent more than 863 days today on country protecting those trees, and to have that destroyed, as we just heard from Sissy Austin, is just pretty devastating for them mob.
But definitely, go check out, if you want to sort of follow that conversation and sort of support what is happening down that way, support them. Just head to Facebook or Instagram, look at the Djaparung Embassy. There's a website as well called the Djaparung Embassy. And just for people wanting to know how to spell that,
DJAB space WURRUNG, Djaparung.
And also, Sissy wrote an article in The Guardian as well, please check that out as well, because it's an amazing piece.
TheGuardian.com.au, or Google it, Sissy Austin, The Guardian, and Djaparung, and that'll come up as your first option.
Yes.
But keeping with and talking about the importance of country and the environment, and what role that country plays in continuing your culture, a culture that's existed for thousands upon thousands of years. This is something that Noongi women, or Quandamooka women, Noongi and Quandamooka women, Sonia and Alyssa Jane, or Lisi Jane Carmichael, have been working on for a very, very long time. And they're linked to this millennia-old tradition of continuing on things like weaving. So we have them in the studio today. Good morning, Lisi and Ani Sonia.
Morning.
Can we start by getting one of you or both of you to explain to us who your mob is and where your country is?
Yep, we're Sonia and Lisi from Quandamooka Noongi people from Minjiraba Morgumpan, and live on Minjiraba, beautiful Minjiraba.
I wish that we were recording from there today. Mm-hmm. Any excuse I can get to go over to that island, I always do. But we're here to learn a little bit about your story and about the importance of continuing on or using art or using your country.
Well, I guess just before we get to that, we just, the first part of the program, we just spoke, to young Sissy Austin in Victoria, and it was a conversation about the inevitable, the tragedies of what, has happened to country and to communities all over this country, and I'm sure, on the island as well. And, there's many forms, of sort of protecting, reviving, continuing, to protect and to fight for country. I guess you do it in your own way as well. Could you tell us how you do that?
Yeah, I guess for me, I guess that's why I'm inspired to make art, to keep our stories and culture alive and pass them on for future generations. And I think, protecting our practices too, which we almost lost from colonization, and we do that through the materials that we use in our work, like we use fibres from country, our freshwater swamp breed Unge, which we gather from the same places that our ancestors would have gone to gather these reeds. And it's really important that we protect those and nurture those so they can regenerate and keep growing strong. And Mum and Dad, you guys gather a lot of ghost nets that wash up on country too.
And caring for country has always been part of our business, and we really respect and nurture, you know, our reeds have been growing on country for thousands of generations, and our ancestral hands and that knowledge and that practice that goes with us, we're very careful that we, you know, only take, you know, the reeds at certain times and seasonal, as well as cultural protocol and customary law, keep that in, you know, very close to our hearts. Yeah, and our Unger, as Lisi said, swamp reed, is, you know, the cultural heart of our weaving, I see it as, and yeah.
And so this is something that has... You've passed down to your daughter, aunt, and I'm guessing you the same would have been, you know, with your, you know, maybe your mother and your grandmother. Is this sort of something that has always been a part of the family, you know, passing these traditions on?
Sure, it's always been part of our family, but, you know, within us. But sadly, with the impact of colonisation and the interruption with mission days, our traditional cultural practice such as weaving and language and corroboree were all... interrupted, and with the intent to, you know, erase those practices, but absolutely it's still alive.
Well, you know, absolutely it is still alive, and despite that disruption, you mob have managed to do a whole range of things. Lisi, for example, you're at the moment showcasing a stunning collection in Brisbane at the Queensland Museum called Threads.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so... Threads is an exhibition that I worked on with Imelda Miller, who's the curator at the Queensland Museum. And it's an exhibition of wearable weaves and textiles, which was inspired by my research that I was doing and looking at how our weaving practices needed to be acknowledged as the first forms of Australian textiles. And in this exhibition, it's really special because between my works are baskets that have been woven by our ancestors using these beautiful swamp breeds that Mum and I were talking about earlier, the Unge.
And if you've just joined us here on Let's Talk, we're yarning with two deadly women, a mother and daughter duo, you could say, Alyssa Jane and Ani Sonia Carmichael, who are yarning to us about the importance of country in and how they incorporate that in their deadly artwork. Sonia, how has it sort of changed over time, over generation, or over the last, say, 20 or 30 years, as far as reviving culture is concerned and utilising these important aspects of country to weave it, with, for want of a better word, in your artwork?
Well, I think in terms of change, we've seen a whole rebirth, a whole regeneration of our Quandamooka weaving and celebration of culture and country with our mob, and also, you know, the wider community as well, taking an interest in, it's just wonderful. Yeah.
What about you seeing your children come through and sort of join this practice with you, join this cultural sort of revolution with you, know? You know, and I guess other community members as well, you know, younger as well. How important is that, and sort of how does it make you feel?
It's very important because it's, you know, keeping our cultural knowledge and passing that from one generation to the next so that those stories can be shared intergenerationally. And, you know, we've just in an exhibition at the moment, Tarnindi in South Australia, where there's an amazing... exhibition of First Nations women from all over the continent sharing, you know, their stories and knowledge and passing that from one generation to the next. And Nikki Cumston, who's the artistic producer of the exhibition, you know, deeply draws on the learning that goes with that, you know. And I guess I think even, can I quote, I saw in her... in her words, Nikki Cumston's words, stories come together when you're sitting and learning from people. Some things happen when your hands are making. Things open up inside of you.
Well, I guess just for our listeners as well, could you tell us a bit about that experience when maybe you're with your daughter or with some other aunties and
because
and some
you run
other
workshops
women.
As well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you share
I think it brings us all together, and it's not going, you know, out to the cinema or to the supermarket or retail therapy. It's country therapy, you know, and it's very healing.
I'm about to embark on a bit of country healing next week when I go on holidays down in Bundjalung country. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that my friend Nadine can come down and do some weaving with me. She was on the show last week and my family. I just think that, you know, I think that, as you mentioned, the cinema and so on and so forth, in this day and age with that consumerist kind of thought process that sort of overrides everything, I think this is so important to highlight how wonderful, wonderfully cathartic and wonderfully healing things like weaving can be. Mm-hmm. Like, what about the healing element of it? Like, have you ever used weaving and art as a form of healing for you or Mob?
Absolutely. Can I share the example of a personal time with going through chemotherapy in the, I think it was 2017-18, and weaving, you know, through the first dose of chemo and weaving when in hospital and weaving with the oncologists asking, what the hell are you making? And it was pieces of country that had washed up on Minjirabar ropes, beautiful coloured ropes, you know, and and discarded matter that ends up in our marine life spally, you know, like turtles get tricked and think it's food, you know, those beautiful turquoise ropes or the orange and the, as well as the balloon skins that turn into like jellyfish-like forms and wishing away in the water. So shocking, really, what washes up on country. And I guess it's a bit like cancer. You don't know it's there till, you know, till it shows up. And being able to find that healing element through working with such a, resilient material that survived harsh conditions in the ocean, you know, it's been discarded and survived those injustices. And our weaving was almost lost to colonisation. And like the reeds, the reeds are very resilient too, you know. They're strong, they're soft and waxy, but they're so strong and resilient and they're beautiful colours, you know. That's part of the therapy too, I think.
Lisi, was this part of your healing as well?
Yeah, at the time I was living out in Alice Springs and I was coming home like every month. It cost me a fortune. Every time I'd come home, me and Mum would sit together and, yeah. But also, like, I guess, yeah, like at the start of this year, we lost our grandma, Aunty Joan Hendricks. Mm. And so it's been a really big year for us and making this work, the work that we've got in the Longwater exhibition, which is on at the IMA at the moment. Like when my grandma passed away, I was working on that and weaving the word Bajong, which is mother. So yeah, it's definitely been a big part of our healing journey.
I just have to say, I knew Aunty Joan and an absolutely stunningly beautiful woman. And I'm just looking through my phone for photos because I had a photo that I took with your beautiful grandmother.
That
right there was a photo I took at the languages exhibition that was over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how important are things like language as well in that cultural revival and you know, resisting extinction of culture and that type of stuff?
Yeah, before moving on to language, acknowledging my mum and our elders past, present as well. And an image comes to mind when you shared that of Lisi and myself and Freya, who is our Lisi's sister, my daughter, a curator, and the four of us out on country gathering reeds together. And it's a beautiful photo that I share. Yes, it stays in my mind and our ancestors walking in their footsteps. So that's, yeah, pretty special. Thanks for sharing that.
But she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, and so your question was around language and the importance of language. I think that's been really parallel with what we've been doing, you know, the whole revitalisation of language and Lisi and my current collab.
Yeah, we just did a big piece together, which is, well, we've done two recently, which is probably like our first time making work using language. And it was really special because one of the pieces that we've done, when we were having a yarn outside and we were talking about derogative labels on weaving baskets that are in museum collections. Mum and I made a piece which was about giving our women, acknowledging their presence as the makers of these baskets. And so we made this piece that had the language words for like mother, auntie, sister. And that was something that was the first time that we've done that, but it's really special being able to learn our language and
like it feels like so familiar now. Yeah. You know, Yagabili Gulai Wanye is making dilly bag today.
and I do want to speak about someone who will have been 100 years since the birth of. And that is Auntie Ujuru Noonuccal, who is from the same area that you guys are from. And if you've just joined us, we're yarning with Lisi and Aunty Sonia Carmichael, who are a mother-daughter duo, you could say, but also individual artists as well, from Minjeriba. They're Kwandamuka Noongi women. And they're sharing with us their amazing stories around the artwork that they do to keep culture alive, because country is so very central and important to keeping culture alive. And I wanted to mention Aunty Ujuru Noonuccal, because every day we're taking our audience out with a poem by Aunty Ujuru Noonuccal, because it will be 100 years since her birth as of next Tuesday. But did Aunty Ujuru have any impact on both of you being from the very same place? Do you hear stories? Can you share something?
I love her poetry, and I always look to it for inspiration, and her books, Father Sky, Mother Earth, that's just one of the most beautiful publications, I think, and I love her drawings that she's done for the book. And I actually I got to see them in person at the museum on the island one day, which was really special. But yeah, the poem that you're about to read, that was something that I had in my thesis when I was doing my Masters of Fine Art. That poem really inspired my writing.
Yeah, right. Tell us about your thesis first.
So it was looking at, the past, present and future of weaving practices. And I think the last line where she mentions that she was happier just having her dilly bag.
Yeah.
Talking, that speaks to the
simplicity of it.
Yeah.
You know, do away with all this, these other layers of material items or things, and this idea that you've got to have an item to feel rich. You can be rich with just your dilly bag and your feet in the sand.
Yeah.
That's going to be me next week. This time next week. Bo, you can call me up. I'll answer. Hello. No, actually, I'm turning my phone off. You know, that's one thing. There are so many disruptions today and so many things that, you can be completely taken away with. But when you get back to the basics, this type of stuff is just so incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
And dare I ask, right, obviously I imagine that you guys are inspirations to each other, but for me, we've been speaking about inspirational women and I've been asking our guests, you know, you two as two strong black women, who is it that inspires both of you? Or are there a number of people? I know I always say my mother, because she's my biggest fan, her and my auntie sis, who are just the epitome for me of what it means to be a strong black matriarch, resilient, wonderful, honest, caring, all those sorts of things. And so in light of celebrating strong Indigenous women or black women, women of colour, who comes to mind when I mention that?
I guess to me, my family and all the women who've, paved the way and gone before us,
That beautiful Aunty Joan Hendricks, I imagine, played a pivotal role in that.
Yeah.
Big time.
And you've got a few pretty amazing people in your family, Cindy, Shannon as well. I was with Cindy last year when Aunty Joan passed away, I can see just how much of an impact she made more broadly in society, but also just in your own family.
Yeah,
It's quite amazing. So Where can people go to learn about your weaving or to catch up? I know that you were just in South Australia. You've got a few art shows going on.
Maybe a workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tanandi,
the website for... Is that a...
Yeah. Art Gallery of South Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tarnady, did you say?
Tarnady.
Can we spell that one out just so people
can... T-A-R-N-A-N... T-H-I.
And that's at the
Art Gallery of South Australia.
Yep.
I've got a workshop coming up at the Queensland Museum, but I can't remember the date.
Oh, my gosh.
But it'll be online on the website if you look up Queensland Museum Threads Exhibition.
And another exciting project, which is about to be launched, I'm not sure when, on Minjirabar is Gunnabar, our new place of... and Knowledge and Learning Centre. So that's where the old high school was there at 1 mile. So, that'll be open for community workshops, I'm sure, and visitors and things.
Lovely. Yeah. You must love just waking up
hard.
Because are you at Point Lookout?
Malumba.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Point Lookout.
It's a dream of mine to buy a place over there.
Yeah,
you better get in there. The real estate's going off
at
the moment from COVID. All people interstate are just buying up and moving.
Yeah, well, you'd want to, wouldn't you? I don't have enough money to buy it. But look, it's been a real pleasure to yarn to both of you today about your amazing
work. Aunt, you said you wouldn't be able to do more than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You don't know more than 20 minutes.
You did a fantastic job. You did a fine job.
You're mainly talking.
It's been an absolute pleasure having both of you in here to share some of the work that you're doing and how it's connected to your amazing family and your lineage. And today, you know, just that importance, you know, we spoke at the beginning about the Japurung tree being destroyed down south. And I think overall, I guess, for this program, you know, the message for me that I get from it is that the importance of country and our responsibility as human beings to make sure that we, even if you aren't Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander, you know, that you're an accomplice in making sure that we all protect these important things, the culture, the things that we weren't allowed to do in the 70s or in the 60s, you know, like... These are the things that are just so very important. So thank you so much for joining
and sharing. I think that was really important what you were saying before about country and now with our economic transition and tourism, the importance of, you know, looking after country sensitively as well, how we started off.
So, like, you mean people coming over to visit your country?
It's very busy there.
It is busy.
Yeah, so... Looking after country is extra important,
And making sure that there's acknowledgement of the local mob that are there.
And planned sensitively,
I love that message. And would love to get you on again in the future. And maybe, Bo and I, we could come for a visit over there and do one of your deadly workshops.
Yeah. Always welcome.
Fantastic. And that was Alyssa Jane and Ani Sonia Carmichael yarning about their deadly weaving work and the importance of how... That is keeping culture alive, Bo. Isn't that just, you know, something that's so pertinent and important right now when you look at the fact that, you know, Japurung tree was sadly taken away from mob down there?
Definitely, yeah. It's two extremes but on the same wavelength, the discussions that we had today, underpinning both those is the importance of country protecting it and maintaining it as well.
And for us or those that are listening, you know, it's our responsibility as individuals to make sure that we're not just, you know, reading the first thing that pops in front of us. You know, get out there and read things that, you know, give you information and insight into the history behind these significant places. Because go to your local museum or go jump on Twitter and reach out to local traditional owners. You all have a responsibility as individuals, no matter whether you're Indigenous, non-Indigenous, whatever it might be. So I've really enjoyed today's program, Bo.
Definitely. And speaking of reading, you're about to read another poem. I must say, like, I do love the Acacia Ridge one because I live there and grew up there.
We read that one on Monday, and yesterday we read Racism. He's making me read it, and I always feel such a great deal of responsibility because of the impact that this incredible woman, Ani Ujiru Noonuccal, has had on so many people, activist, poet, all of those things, elder, someone who...
Mother, grandmother, yeah, great-grandmother.
Yeah, someone who stood very firmly and very strongly for country.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is called Then and Now by Ani Kath Walker, also known as Ani Ujiru Noonuccal. In my dreams, I hear my tribe laughing as they hunt and swim, but dreams are shattered by rushing cars, by grinding tram and hissing train, and I see no more my tribe of old as I walk alone in the teeming town. I have seen Kawabari, where the factory belches smoke, here where they have Memorial Park, one time Lubris dug for yams, one time our dark children played. There where the railway yards are now, and where I remember the didgeridoo, calling us to dance and play, offices now, neon lights now, bank and shop and advertisement now, traffic and trade of the busy town. No more Woomera, no more boomerang, no more play about, no more the old ways. Children of nature were then, no clocks hurrying crowds to toil. Now I am civilized and work in the white way. Now I have dress. Now I have shoes. Isn't she lucky to have a good job? Better when I only had a dilly bag. Better when I had nothing but happiness. And that's by the amazing Ani Ujiru Noonuccal.
That was deadly. You can see in the song as well where No More Boomerang came from.
Yeah. Mm. Uncle Les Collins sings that one.
Mm-hmm. Bun Laurie from Cold Stone. That was an amazing poem.
It is. It gives me goosebumps. I've not heard that one before, but it was suggested by Ani Sonia. You like that one, Ani Sonia, don't you? Yeah. It really takes you to the moment. But I feel like with everything that sort of happened this year, Bo, I almost feel as though, like, there is this awakening or understanding, let's hope, fingers crossed, that these simple things like that dilly bag, you know, and sitting in the sand with your feet in the sand or your feet on the earth.
Yeah, not their head in the sand, their feet on the sand.
Yes, yes. and to take us out today, we have a song that Ani Sonia has requested.
Yes.
Which one did you request? The Turtle Song.
Amen.
Yeah. By Emily Watamara.
Yes. And if you've enjoyed the program this morning, you can catch the repeat on at 7 p.m. tonight on 98.9 FM, or go to our website at 98.9fm.com.au. And you can click the link for the podcast, which will be up a little bit later on in the day. And as always, it's been a pleasure.
Papa Gunaway. land of the dreamtime rolling away, stretched out on the clear blue skies every which way. Oh, land of sunshine south of the line, found and lost and found again somewhere inside. Island, the storms come and go, the wheels of the gods, they move slow. You can't rush a rose to unfold, the story is yet to be told. Oh, land of silence, old as the sky, teaching me to understand peace by and by. Island, the storms come and go, the wheels of the gods, they move slow. You can't rush your rose to unfold, the story is yet to be told. See a clearer view of what you've known. For in my youth, my age has come and time has flown. Time has flown. Capricorn, dance in my heart, rolling through the Kimberley to honor my blood. Island, the storms come and go, the wheels of the gods, they move slow. You can't rush your rose to unfold, the story is yet to be told.